You are live.
Live on Michael Angley, live on United Public Radio Network on the Earth, man, because that's where we are, centered in gravity here in Ithaca, New York, man, world headquarters. I will tell you this, it is ugly out there. And I watch these things happen. We're going to talk about everything going on tonight. And there's a hell of a lot going on. But I will tell you this, man. Number one, the Democrats. And I'm just going to slam Democrats because I'm going to say them too. You know, how about Keith Ellison? Big mouth in the Democratic Party. Big mouth. That's the show tonight. It's about big mouths, man. Big mouth in the Democratic Party. One of the leading candidates to be Minnesota's next attorney general now confronted, had to confront allegations on Sunday of domestic abuse of a former girlfriend that surfaced days before the election. Basically, they're going to decide the party's nominee. And then apparently this woman's son has a video of this guy being abusive, you know? So this is what gets me. He's saying, and this is funny, right? Keith Ellison. He himself says this is a horrible attack on his privacy, and it's unreal. Wow. After what these people have done to other people, especially Trump and the rest of that lot, and his family, and even his kid, how they dragged his kid into all this stuff, these people are going to talk about their own privacy and be upset because allegations of abuse, that this guy physically, verbally, all kinds of abused his ex-girlfriend for all this time, that he's just upset that it came out. He was on TV today on the news crying about it, crying, you know, tears running down his face and pulling that Jimmy Swaggart. Remember that televangelist, right? Jimmy Swaggart. That dude, he was Mr. Richie Rich, you know, and he got caught with hookers more than once, right? So he'd be in his Jaguar, big Rolex on. He got nailed, you know, being with hookers out in California. And then, you know, to his congregation, you think that those people would be incensed, but this tells you what sheeple they are. He goes in there and said, I have sinned. I've sinned. Forgive me. Jesus is about forgiveness. So, I mean, that's the whole thing. Jesus is about forgiveness. But does that excuse being some scumbag who's going to be out there abusing women, you know? So that's the deal, is the hypocrisy involved of these big mouths who are out there talking all this trash about everybody else and putting people down, you know, bad enough. All right, go ahead, put Trump down. Trump puts himself out there to be put down. The guy's a prize pig, I get it. But you can't insult all the people that voted to have their country go into a better direction after they saw what had happened in the last many years. Not just Obama, but, you know, before him, Bush. I mean, for 16 years, the country was run down the toilet. For 16 years, these things have gone on. And people were just tired of losing their jobs, tired of trying to make ends meet. They wanted to vote for a better country for themselves. Trump said he can do it. What did he do? He went out there and flaunted his wealth. I'm very rich. Look at me. I'm very rich, you know. He ain't no self-made man either. You know what I mean? And he had a leg up in the business. Plus a ton of money that was fronted to him by his father. What he doesn't say is that he had even more money fronted to him by the banks, because the banks knew him, his father. They knew him through that. And then they gave him a huge line of credit, which is why he was able to make so much money. He's had failed businesses too and whatever, but he focused on real estate, made his dough, right? I just think that you know, I think that, sure, call a pig, call war a war. Don't mince words on things. But don't be the person out there in the Democratic Party talking all this trash when you yourself are guilty of all kinds of stuff. And then the Democrats came out and said, well, this, you know, the allegations of abuse won't affect his performance in the election, right? Other people have stepped down from their jobs and positions when they were outed as abusers or molesters or whatever the hell they are. I mean, it's rampant through the media. We're seeing these big media moguls fall because of this. We're seeing this in Hollywood. All these people, Hollywood is like the worst of the worst of the worst. Anything that you can think is bad is going on. You know, you're talking about child sex rings. Really? You're talking about these people who are famous actors and musicians doing all these terrible things, getting involved in drug trafficking too, and all that. But I'll tell you, man, who would want to hang out with people like that, you know? I mean, and then they're going to sit there and talk trash about all these other people, people they don't even know. You know, George Clooney saying that, you know, Trump supporters are Nazis. You know, Bono, really? To come out and start talking trash about us. You know what that does? It makes those supporters not buy his albums anymore. It makes those supporters not go see George Clooney movies anymore. I'm sour on it just because I'm tired of hearing the dancing monkeys, try to tell me my business. I mean, these people are actors. They're musicians. They're out there for a specific purpose. They do it. They're done. They go in, they act, they're done. They're not political scientists, you know, and they're not better than me. They're not better than me in some way of, oh, you know, their ideas are better, or their plan, their agenda is better. My agenda actually is very simple, man. You know, get up, try to have a good day, go to sleep. It's that simple, man. You know, input, process, output. That simple. So all these people that talk all this smack, including, Cuomo, Governor Cuomo, New York State, right? Running for office, running for his life, actually, against a bigger libtard than he is. He comes out the other day saying that America was never great, you know, instead goes on this diatribe about America. Let me tell you, man, there are people that fought and died for this country and did great things more than you'll ever know, Cuomo. There are people out there in the world that receive our generosity and our kindness and our love that are grateful, that more grateful you'll ever even know. Cuomo can say that, but yet go back to his mansion and go back to his little private car collection and go back to his little life, right? And his father was governor. Here's a political family. So what has any Cuomo ever done to improve this country? How's that? What kind of laws have they made to help people's lives? How's that? No, they're trying to keep illegal aliens here who commit crimes and using our tax money to pay those lawyers to keep them here. They have an agenda, and their agenda is not your average American citizen's agenda. Their agenda has nothing to do with it, as a matter of fact. Their agenda has everything to do with telling you how to live your life. But he's going to go out there and say America was never great. You know what? This country's done great things for people, done great things for other countries. We've helped other countries who were pulled apart by tyranny. You know, all which kind of ways we came to other countries' aid when they were suffering at the hand in a war of other countries. So, of course, we've done great things. Of course, there are great people in this nation. Of course, they are going to do great things in the future still. But Cuomo doesn't get that. He doesn't understand it. You know, and I know for a fact that when he was Attorney General under Elliot Spitzer, this guy took payola, you know, and they said, well, if you want to sit down with Cuomo, you just give him $50,000 as a campaign contribution, right? And then you assure yourself a meeting with him. This is what these lawyers would say when Cuomo would charge these people on Wall Street and go after this group or that group. He went after prostitution rings that were the competition for the prostitution ring that Elliot Spitzer used to go have sex with prostitutes, and he got caught and had to step down. See, that's the deal. Step down. You get caught, you're an abuser, you step down. I don't know about that. What Keith Ellison doesn't get is that, you know what? You're outed as a horrible person. You don't belong in that office. You don't belong representing other people. And that's what gets me about these people with their big talk. They're all a bunch of hypocrites. You know, look at the former White House aide, Amarosa Manigault Newman, right? And then she's been out there trying to sell her book. And this woman's a demon, a demon. And I don't like sticking up for Trump at all. And in fact, I resent it when I have to. But this woman's a demon. And then there she is just saying, oh, you know, he did this and he did that, but you can't prove any of it. Oh, I heard him say the N-word and I know it. She can't prove any of it. So the black community, she's trying to get the black community all riled up. And this is what she's, you know, like focusing on. Although, you know, Trump said the N-word and he's a racist for sure. It's funny because the people I know from the black community are like, you know, one, they don't believe her. Number two, they don't like her. Number three, they think she's a turncoat and a traitor for going to work for Trump in the fourth place. But number four, he hired her and she wanted to work with him happily. You know, she released this tape on MSNBC on, it was supposed to be a bribery tape, right? She's alleging that on the tape, you hear that they're trying to bribe her and pay her $15,000 a month to be part of the campaign, but like a shut up fund, you know, a silence her, right? With this fund. Meanwhile, it was for her pay. They offered her $180,000 a year for the job. It was her pay. But she's trying to twist it into something else that didn't exist. And this is what's been going on. And this is what's dividing our country. You know, so I want you guys to look around the world and show me any place that's freaking stable. I'm not seeing it. You know, in Sweden, you know, it's funny. A few weeks ago, I had a friend in Norway, and she was like, you know, Sweden's a good country, and, you know, yeah, they have a problem with their immigrants, but it's not that bad, whatever. And I said, you're not listening to the real news. You're listening to what the governmental news is. That government likes to hide what the hell is going on. And you could ask why all day long. You know, there might be a whole bunch of different reasons. And the bottom line is people are in danger from those Muslim immigrants in that country. And so the other night, there was a coordinated effort of firebombings that these migrants ran around firebombing cars, firebombing all kinds of things in three cities. All for what? I'll tell you this. This is the funny part. Because I like to ask why. And when someone does something, no matter what they do, I want to find out why they did it, right? Because there's always a reason, you know? Well, mostly, 99% of the time, there's a reason. You may not find out what that reason is. The shooter in Vegas, I said, you will most likely not find out what the guy's problem was, what the reason is. Whatever it was, he kept it to himself, you know? But there was a reason. You just don't do things like that for no reason whatsoever. You plan it and do it. So, okay. What's the reason? Why are these migrants pissed? Because one, they feel like they have no future in Sweden. You know, no opportunity, no future. So they took in 600,000 people from other countries, wherever the hell they came from, all over, right? Mainly, they're supposed to be migrants. They're supposed to be from war-torn countries where they are escaping. All these young men who could be out there fighting the war in that country and securing their own country for themselves, you know, they're all a bunch of cowards and they take off instead. It's not about the women and the children and all that stuff. These are all young men, number one. Number two, they're angry at Sweden for what? Feeding them, giving them money, taking them in, giving them a safe place to live. Now, they built up these areas where the police don't even go. And a lot of crimes that they do in Sweden go unanswered. The police don't even show up. And they, or if they do, they don't investigate. So there's a bunch of problems going on. And I have a large audience in Sweden. I know you guys are feeling it, man. You know, and then I get a lot of feedback that I'm right on track when I'm saying these things because these people live in these cities. These people live in these areas that they're getting attacked from these migrants all the time, that they're not safe because of it. You know, that's the thing. You sacrificed your safety for other people who are ungrateful. They're not grateful, you know, and there's a huge problem. And they shouldn't have taken in people if they didn't think they can handle it. You got to ask, can we do this? Can we handle it? You know, not for nothing. There's plenty of Arab nations that could have taken in the same people and put them up. You know, rich Arab nations could have done the same thing. But this is more than that. It's more than that. And there's a reason that this group wants to go into places like Sweden and Italy and Germany and all over, right? And it's all about changing what's there and conquering and taking over, because that's Islam. That's Islam. And I'm not anti-Islam. I'm actually anti-religion, because I think that people just use it for all kinds of crazy stuff, and it has nothing to do with the truth of the world and life and universe and all that. So they get lost or controlled or whatever, man, right? Anyway, it's hard to tell somebody who is a Muslim or a Catholic or a Jew that they're wrong. You know, an idea you can change, a belief is almost impossible to change unless you deprogram people. So you can't beat up on people. You're just trying to talk the truth about this. So there are people that are committing heinous acts in the name of these religions for thousands of years. This isn't new. But the problem is now these countries like Germany, like Sweden, like Finland, these countries have taken these people in, you know? They've taken them in, and now they're committing horrible acts of violence, and people are afraid to go out. And the women getting raped in Sweden by these Muslim men, and then the government's not doing anything about it. They look the other way, or they deny it outright. But yet, the real news is out there. All you have to do is look. You know, maybe the government doesn't sanction the real news. The Swedish government is telling the smaller news outlets that are reporting this not to, and that they're in violation of the law because there's no freedom of speech in Sweden. Doesn't exist. They tell you, you listen, otherwise you get locked up. They would rather lock you up for telling the truth than lock up these migrants for committing terrible acts of violence against people, raping, even murder. All that, the gun violence in Sweden, they got the tightest gun laws in the world. But yet, there's illegal guns all over the place in these migrant communities. And then that's something that you should think about when you talk about banning guns at all, that there will still be illegal guns. And the people looking to commit the crimes with the illegal guns have no problem doing that. The good gun owner is not likely to commit the crime. The criminal with the illegal gun is likely to commit the crime. So, you know what? I think that there's a lot of anger out there in the world because of this. And then now you see Europe, Italy, elected a populist government. They're on the fast track of getting rid of 500,000 of these migrants, sending them back to Africa and every other place they came from. And they're saying, pack your bags, you're going. They're not picking up refugees anymore anyway, because it was killing the Italian budget. And they sit around doing nothing, causing violence, you know? So who needs that? Who wants that? And I agree that these third world countries need help. They need help. And I think that every country is good at something. But you get involved in the politics behind it. So look at the Congo. You know, they've been at war forever. And the people just can't live together. Dictator rule. You know, I mean, the dude eats his enemy's bodies. The guy eats his enemy's bodies. Huh? You don't want to go to his house for finger sandwiches. It's not what you'll think. You get it? You're talking about a mentality that you just don't want living next to you. Just something about that that says, hey, I don't want that person as a neighbor. You know, maybe it's me, I don't know. But a dude who eats other people, angry cannibal type of thing, no. So now Ebola is back, of course, and rearing its ugly head, and it's in the Congo. So there are these red zones in the Congo, right, where you just don't go. These zones are locked down. No one's allowed in there. No one's allowed out of there if they go in there because they get killed, okay? So the fact that the World Health Organization and the CDC think that Ebola now will explode, and the longer the virus goes on, the longer the outbreak happens, the more the virus mutates and can get worse, a lot worse. Imagine Ebola getting worse, you know. It already has they say it's about a 90% mortality rate, but more like a 50-50, you know, that I've seen, right? Which is still pretty severe. If you get Ebola, you know, one out of two chances you're going to die. And that's that simple. They're not letting the WHO in. They're not letting the CDC in because the Congo is locked down and they don't care. They don't care. So it can become the situation where it's going to just run rampant through these areas that have so many people, right? So that's the problem when you're dealing with other countries And then the people from those countries, you know, they need to be educated in the ways of the world of like, hey, if you live next door to somebody and you're angry at them, you just can't go over and cut their head off and eat them. You just can't do it in America, in France, in Italy. You know, you just can't do it. It's illegal. You know what I mean? But they don't care about legal, illegal. It doesn't flash through their brain. They're not civilized in that capacity. They don't care. What they do care about is eating your bones, you know? And yeah, not everybody, but you know, the immigrants that came to America years ago, most of them wanted to come to America for a better life, you know, and they worked hard building this country for a better life. There are still immigrants that are coming in. We naturalize 1.4 million immigrants a year in the United States of America. These people are happy. They when they take that pledge and they look so happy, they know all the presidents, they know the history, they know what the deal is. They're happy to come here and be part of the solution and not part of the problem. But these migrants, a lot of them, much of them, most of them are the problem in these areas, especially. You know, Trump put a stranglehold on the whole thing of taking migrants in. Obama had us taking 400,000 in per year. Right? Even though I don't think that that would have happened under Hillary, I have to say, because she wasn't down with Obama. The only thing she kind of was in the election, but that's her. You know, she's a liar. So I think it would have been more like, you know, here, Bill, you drive, and she can go take the credit for all the stuff that Bill Clinton would have done. But I'll tell you this, that didn't happen, obviously. And you got Trump in there, and then he understood that these people are a danger to the civilized way of life. We'll say it like that. And that's the deal. Is that Italy got tired of it? Austria is getting rid of those imams who are out there calling for people's deaths because of Islam. And he said, you know what? You know, Allah wants you to go kill them and whatever. You know, and you know, on my Facebook page, I post news report after news report of these types of things. And you gotta read an article and think like, damn, you know, are these people really that far gone? Are they that daft? That they don't understand just how to be a decent human being. And of course, because they didn't grow up like that. They were raised in the worst possible conditions, you know, and that's why the UN is full of crap. That's why the UN is full of crap, because they've been around for all these years and accomplished no goals, only to stuff money in their own pockets, the people that are in there. And then, you know, sure, give veto power to countries like China and Russia, and then bang, there's no more control or nothing over anybody, you know. So yeah, they're good for putting sanctions on this one and that one. They can't enforce the sanctions, you know. They have no real military. They have the UN peacekeeping force, which is nothing. Those guys commit more damage than they do helping people, you know. So, but why are people suffering in the Congo? That's the question. How come these people are suffering around the world, you know? And then in Syria, since there's been this ceasefire, you would think the Syrians would be going back. They don't want to go back. They don't want to go. They don't want to be there. They are on a mission, and that's the deal. And I'll tell you, when it comes to Islam, there's so many different groups of like, you know, like Christians have so many different groups, and a lot of them hate each other. Same thing for Islam, right? And you don't know what group you're working with when, and you don't know when someone's going to freaking explode on you and you know, just flip out for no reason, smash a bottle over your head and cut your throat with it because of their stupid religion. That's the fear, is that you're not dealing with a person, you're dealing with a whole different thing, you know. And what these countries don't get, Sweden, Germany, United States, any of these countries, the UK. Look what's going on in the UK with these immigrants. Look what's happening in London. That London's not safe anymore. People getting thrown acid in their face. You know, people driving over in your car because of your stupid religion, or knife attacks where they get killed. In London, really? They changed the whole face of London. It'll never be the same, right? And you have Sadiq Khan, the mayor of London, looking the other way and protecting these terrorists. Okay. Is that the deal, really? What, you know what they don't get? They don't get how you handle it. You know how you handle people who are part of a religion like that, because these Muslims don't care about nationality. They don't care about what country they come from. You don't hear them, that I am proud to be Iranian, I am proud to be from Iraq. You don't hear them say that I'm proud to be Muslim. It's their religion. So if you, let's say the only thing they care about is their immediate family, because that's what they're building on, and as per their religion, that's what they've got. Okay, so let's say you have a family of 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 of them. I mean, in places like Michigan, these people can have even extra wives. It's illegal to have more than wife in the United States, but they're calling it extended family, and they're giving them welfare because they don't allow the women to work. They got to stay home. So basically, they have these wives, and they're just breeding and popping out babies. So you have this mass explosion of people going on because of this. They know what they're doing. It's like a virus, right? They know what they're doing. So you know how you keep people in line who are like that? Okay. You're gonna go shoot up that gay nightclub? You're gonna go commit these terrible acts of aggression against innocent people? We're gonna deport your entire family. You're gone. You're banned. You're banned from the US. And then if other countries get on board, they'll ban them too and say you're not welcome in any civilized country, not. And I'll tell you this, you will see that violence drop through the floor. You will at that point see them put a hold on all of that illegal activity, because then you're blowing up their spot. What you're doing is putting an end to that infiltration, and you send them all out. See? But these countries don't do that. Austria is starting to do that. Italy's getting rid of a bunch of them. Germany is just a huge mess. Huge mess, But talk about mess. I mean, like, the division of the world and the people who are starting to cash in on it. Even you see like headlines about this new Russian satellite that people are flipping on, and it's acting weird, and they don't know what it is, but it's in a weird orbit, and it could be full of M&Ms. You don't know. It's acting weird. And Trump with his space force, you can have your space balls. I want health care. I want healthcare for people. Take care of stuff on this planet first, then go out there. But if you want to do something in space for the Russians and the Chinese and America and everybody else who's trying to get up in space, send a bunch of garbage trucks up there to collect all the debris floating around. And then that's what part of the article about this Russian satellite is like. They don't want to have weapons, because if you blow up a satellite, you have all this debris flying around 15, 20,000 miles per hour, and that debris will, destroy other satellites. And they don't want their own satellite to get destroyed, so then they're going to use lasers, microwaves to short out the satellite or jam it. This is the stuff they're doing. They're not trying to help people live. They're not trying to help people have a better life. They're not trying to solve the homeless problem. They're not trying to solve cancer. They're not trying to solve the problem with poverty. They're talking about satellites fighting satellites. It's some horse's ass stuff. When people need so much and so many people are suffering, these guys are talking about spending billions of dollars for a whole lot of nothing. I'd be the guy with a satellite that would explode into 15 billion pieces, and it'd be like, yeah, I'm going to destroy all your stuff. Okay. Same thing for nuclear warheads and nuclear missiles. You know how many we have fueled and ready to fly every day that it costs $1 million a day, thereabout, to keep each one of those missiles ready to fly? You know how many billions that we've spent on that a year? Billions that could have helped so many people. It could have educated so many people. No, you can't have that. So that's the problem with humans, is stupidity. Absolute stupidity, Talking about stupidity, right? So you get this 1 year anniversary of the Charlottesville protest, where you had all these white supremacists show up, and then you had the radical left. Of course, there's gonna be white supremacists showing up. You're gonna have the radical left. They have the right to talk, all of them, right? Sure. But then you get these Antifa people running around with masks on, who are beating up the other people and hitting them in the head with bicycle locks and spraying them with mace and all that. What do they think is gonna happen? And at every one of these protests, and the only thing that they're protesting is nothing. You know what they're doing? They're saying white pride, this pride, black pride. You know, how about human pride? You know, how about not being proud of what the hell you come from? You know, because the word pride is a whole different thing. How about just be happy? be happy, you know? I'm American and I'm happy about it, you know, like American pride, people and their damn pride. Pride gets you in trouble, so I'll tell you that. So, but this Antifa group ended up attacking an NBC film crew, all right, video crew. And then one protester was trying to grab the camera, and he responded to a Twitter commenter telling him to F off, telling him F off, national media vulture. You know, and then, you know, it's funny, NBC and ABC and CNN, they're all on Antifa's side. They're happy to give them the interviews and let them talk as much as they want, no matter how crazy they are. If you ever look at these dudes, they're all like not in the right mind, you know. And it's one thing to protest something. Sure, you don't believe in something, or if you believe in something strongly, go out there and say your opinion. But you don't beat people up. You don't shoot people or knife people through ass in their face or do anything like that, because number one, you're not going to gain any support by doing a horrible act of violence. Number two, you're hurting someone who is innocent. Doesn't matter who they voted for. It's their right. It's their right. And you can't blame them for their right. You can debate them on their ideas, but you can't blame them for what's rightfully theirs. And you have the freedom to choose, no matter who you are. You've got the freedom to choose in this country and the freedom to speak your mind. I ain't talking about hate talk. I'm not talking about, oh, I don't want to bake this cake for you because you're gay. That's asinine. If I own a bakery, no matter what my religion is, I don't care what you do. You want to come in? You want a gay cake? I'll make you a gay cake. What the hell do I care? That dude who, and then he wins the Supreme Court because they were misguided on the issue. It was presented wrong, you know? I'll tell you about court and law. You need to present things the proper way to a judge, because that judge is going to apply the law how they see fit. If you go a whole different avenue, you might go a whole different way for you trying to win the case. So with the gay cake guy, he said it was against his religion to bake the cake for these gay men, even though that interfered with their rights. You know, it comes down to, if it's your religion not to judge others, then that's the whole thing. They could have used the guy's right of religion right into his face and say, listen, your religion is not about all this, you know? Your religion is about something else entirely, then. It's what you made up in your mind, or what you decide that the things you believe, other people should believe too, and you push that agenda on them. If you have a cake shop that's open to the public, then it's your duty to serve the public, no matter who that public is. You start singling people out, saying, well, I don't like this one because of my religion, but I don't like that one because of my religion, or I can't serve this person because of my religion, and then the Supreme Court backs it up. The only thing they're doing is backing up a prejudice that has always happened under these religions, a prejudice that has always happened. People have always used religion to be prejudiced against others, like the Mormons not letting black people into their church. How about that one? You know, that went on for a bunch of years. There's all kinds of times through the Catholic Church or Christians or whatever organization, man, doesn't matter. Organization. They're not a religion of God, a creator. They're an organization, something that was solely built to stuff their pockets with cash. And that's what the bottom line is. And you can't argue with that. Can't argue with it, because it's the truth, you know? So, but the same thing for all these groups and all these people. I'll tell you, man, the only way that good things are going to happen is if you make those good things happen. If you let people break the law and hurt other people, and then like these politicians that are calling for this violence, I never thought I'd hear an American politician in my life say, go out and hurt somebody because of who they voted for or what they believe in. Man, I didn't think I was going to hear something like that. But yet I hear all of them saying it. Trump said it himself too, you know, at his rallies, go hurt them. You know, the protesters, go drag them out and beat them up. You know what, man? This ain't freaking wrestling, you know, like on TV where people are oiled up, these big, you know, muscle dudes oiled up and beating on each other with this fake thing going on. Of course, they say it's real, man. You know, they get all indignant. They're like, it's not fake. It's not fake. Dude, if it was real, you'd be dead. You know what I mean? Nobody takes a beating like that and lives. It's that simple. Yeah, at least brain dead. You hit somebody in the head with a chair. I've seen that, and the person ended up brain dead. So, you know, you see these things in the world, and you see what happens. I'm saying that there's no leadership. There's no leadership trying to bring people together, not on any side. And the Democrats had a brain in their goddamn heads. They would really, you know what, the whole Michelle Obama, they go low, but we go high. I haven't seen that yet. I think they all go low. But if you're trying to combat evil, you got to do it with good. You can't fight evil with evil. It doesn't work. You sink down to their level. So, talking about evil, okay, the long-awaited state grand jury report into sexual abuse in six Pennsylvania dioceses, the Catholic Church, including Pittsburgh and Greensburg, has finally been released. 884-page document, 2 years in the making, shines a light into the dark corners of these dioceses going back 70 years, exposing the predators and the efforts of their bishops to protect them. This is one state of the victims who came forward. You know, keep in mind, most of these victims of these Catholic priests are afraid to come forward, either have been threatened, bullied, or they're just embarrassed that they were raped by a man or whatever. Because a lot of these boys have unbelievable psychological problems from that, obviously. Stands to reason. Okay. So the most comprehensive report on child sex abuse within the church ever produced in our country was released. Attorney General Josh Shapiro said Pennsylvanians can finally learn the extent of sexual abuse in these dioceses. For the first time, we can all begin to understand the systematic cover-up by church leaders that followed. The abuse scarred every diocese. The cover-up was sophisticated. The church protected the institution at all costs. Let me read that again. The church protected the institution at all costs. Not the children that got raped. Not the children that were being abused. And the abuse was ongoing. It didn't just happen one time. You're talking about thousands, you know, over 300 priests and thousands of children. Thousands. This is just Pennsylvania. You think the problem is unique only to Pennsylvania? You think the problem is unique only to the U.S.? Pope John Paul said it was a problem just in the U.S. Liar. He knows damn well that the problem goes well beyond the U.S., right? So the report cites 301 priests, clergy, and lay teachers with credible allegations against them. There are 99 in the Diocese of Pittsburgh alone. 99 child molesters. In Pittsburgh, 99 Catholic priests or people associated with the Catholic Church, child molesters, and they let it happen, and they knew it was happening, and then they kept it happening. And we knew this for years, been talking about this stuff for years, and there it is. But of course, you know, the Catholic Church has untold riches. They are firmly in control. You don't want to go against them. They ruin people's lives for doing that. So how about this? You know, I don't want to go into all the horrible details, but I'm going to tell you what sickness we're dealing with. So one case, one time, one boy was forced to stand on a bed in the rectory, stripped naked, and pose as Christ on the cross for priests. Priests, plural. They took photos of their victim, adding them to a collection of child pornography, which they produced and shared on church grounds. This is the Catholic Church. Make no mistake, it's an organization that harbors child molesters. I don't think you can find something worse in this world than an organization that not only harbors child molesters, but rewards them, right? The priests would mark their victims by giving them gifts. To make it easier to target their victims, the priests gave their favorite boys gifts, gold crosses to wear as necklaces. The crosses were markings of which boys had been groomed for abuse. So the other priests saw them wear the cross. They know that that kid has been groomed for abuse, and then they can abuse them too. Oh my God. You got to be able to sit there and say, this is the worst thing I've ever heard. This is something that goes far beyond any kind of petty crime, man. You're talking about systematic child abuse for years by a corporation. Well, let's not forget, the Catholic Church is not an elected body, nothing. They're a corporation. They own other corporations. They own gun manufacturers. They own Beretta Firearms. Beretta Firearms, for God's sakes. And they're going to say, oh, man, don't sin. Really? Really? Okay. The report states all victims were brushed aside in every part of the state by church leaders who preferred to protect the abusers and their institution above all. The main thing was not to help children, but avoid scandal. Priests were raping little boys and girls, and the men of God who were responsible for them only did nothing. They hid it. That's what they did, right? The diocese administrators, including the bishops, had knowledge of this conduct, and yet priests were regularly placed in ministry after the diocese was on notice that a complaint of child sexual abuse had been made. This conduct enabled offenders and endangered the welfare of the children. They would get them other jobs in other places and just move them around and put them with more children. This has been going on for decades. It's been going on since the beginning. Let's say, forget decades. Let's say it's been going on since the inception of the Catholic Church. An intelligence report from Iraqi intelligence says Amin worked with building material. All right, you know what? Priests all over the world rape these children in every country. Everywhere they send the Catholic priests in places like Iraq, you know, they send them there to convert people into Christians, and here are these men raping these children. So this report is leading to other reports around the world. This is just Pennsylvania we're talking about. This report, particularly, I was watching the DA and watching their face when they were reading the report and how sickened they were to their stomachs that this is going on, you know. And if you want to find child predators, you got to look at those people who have access to children. But you know what gets me about all this? This is what gets me. Here's this Pope Francis, right? Big mouth. Oh, global warming and telling people they're stupid because they don't believe in something, whatever. Political, all over the place, you know? Making appeared in his own movie, right? Big movie. Pope Francis, who's out there just basically heckling everyone, saying that you're all evil and, you know, you build a wall, you want your guns going. He's basically attacking Americans, saying that we have no right to defend ourselves, or, you know, we shouldn't have, you know, that we don't want open borders. And the church does, of course. They want all those Catholics to come over the border because it gives them more voting power, doesn't it? Don't you think that there's an issue there? But let's not even talk about that. How about this? That Pope Francis has said nothing about all of this. The guy with the biggest mouth said nothing about all this. Oh, man, the cardinals, bishops, they're calling for him to say something. What about your Catholic people? What about the people that worship at your altar? What about those people? Now, I have Catholic friends, and all of them said that they're ashamed, and they have a hard time even digesting this. And, you know, now they're believing it. It's not one case here or one case there. You're talking about thousands in one state alone. Thousands of victims. Imagine being that kid that was marked by these priests. And these priests, when you're a child, you're taught to look up to these people. You know, that they're a man of God. They put them with a connection of all being. That, you know, these priests could be instrumental in your destruction of your soul. You're going to go to hell. All this other stuff, right? They threaten you with hell all the time. So where is the Pope? Where is he? How come he's not commenting? Is he just being quiet because he's disgusted? Or because they were caught? Because they're outed? Because that's just one state in the United States of America. You don't think that it just happened there, right? Obviously not, since there's victims from Massachusetts and New York and all over the place. I'll tell you, man, I grew up in Rockville Center, home of the Archdiocese on Long Island, right? And my father owned a repair shop and a gas station, and these priests would always take their nice brand new Mercedes into his station and, you know, get gas and whatever, whatever it needed. The nuns all had a nice new Buick or a Chevy, right? They used to go to Benjamin Pontiac. That was right across my father's station. I remember this day. And then all the men had a Mercedes. So I said, a long time ago, I asked my mom, like, what do you got to do to be a priest? And she said, you got to take a vow of poverty. And you can't ever get married, have sex, and I'm like, Dad, you can't make money. So I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing that. You know what I mean? Goes against every grain of decency to give up that for what? And these guys end up raping children. Okay. So, but I put that together with the Mercedes. And I know that my father had said a Mercedes is a very expensive car. You know, I have an uncle that always bought new Mercedes. And, you know, I mean, he had a lot of money. He wasn't a priest. You know what I mean? That's the funny part. They take this vow of poverty. Why do they have a Mercedes? Ah, because the church paid for it. So the people that go there and light those candles and put a buck in like my grandmother used to do, they pay for it. They pay for it with their faith. Their faith bought that guy his Mercedes. So then this priest comes in, probably around 7 years old, 8 years old. I had known for being a class clown, big mouth. You know, I say what's on my mind, obviously. Since I'm 51, I'm still doing it. Nothing's changed. Say what's on your mind. It's important. So I asked this priest, how can you have a Mercedes? My mom says that you take a vow of poverty and then Mercedes is an expensive car. This guy flipped out. And he was like, you know, telling my father, you should beat that child. It's being disrespectful to me and beat him, you know, all that, right? All because I asked him a simple question because I called them out on their hoardery, on their hoarding. I called them out, right? So it turns out that dude was a guy who got arrested for multiple child molestations and went to jail. And he ended up dying in jail on Long Island, you know? So this is the deal. I've learned you trust people once. And once they, once they prove to you that you can't trust them, that you don't trust them anymore, no matter what they say or do. You know what I mean? Because trust is hard earned and it's easy lost. That's for sure. But these people who say we're priests, we're a church, think about they're tax-free. They take in all that money, pay no taxes. They take up all that land, they pay no taxes. They're still driving around in Mercedes and stuff like that. But I think that you need to question that type of organization. And I can only hope that all these people come out individually and sue them, sue the bejesus out of them to the point where they can't function anymore. Take all they got. Now, the Vatican says that they're safe from these lawsuits because of Italian law and other stuff that they set up. They saw this coming a long time ago. Let me tell you, man. They knew that they weren't going to be able to keep it quiet, especially now with all the media and all the people that are looking forward to coming out. Back in the day with the media, it was hard to get them to produce any type of story about the Catholic Church because a lot of them are Catholics. They wouldn't do it. They're part of a gang, And that's how I see it, man. You know what I mean? And then you say, what would Jesus do? Jesus would go to the Pope and take his sandaled foot and stick it right up Francis's ass and say, what the hell are you doing in my name? What are you doing using my name to rape these children? You know, do you think Jesus was a rapist? You think he raped children? So, you know, this government needs to go after this Catholic Church this organization, this corporation, and bring them to justice. And I'm not talking about one priest here or one priest there. In this situation, 301 priests. And they're going to try to bury it. They systematically cover it up. You know, that bishop in Washington is up on all kinds of sex charges now. So, yeah, what are we talking about? Child rape, child endangerment, child abuse, producing child pornography, circulating child pornography. You know, there are so many felonies in there, I don't even know where to look first. And we need to take them all and hold them accountable and put the screws to them and punish them so nobody else follows in their footsteps. And if that organization is all about that, you need to take the organization down. You know, you take away their 501c3 so they're not tax-free anymore, right? And start going after their funds to fold that church. And all the people that believe in that, you know, that's the hard part. You know, listen to my friends who are Catholics all their lives saying, I'm ashamed and I'm depressed of this and I can't believe the church and I don't want to go to church anymore. You know what? Their belief is shaken with the truth. Shaken with the truth. So I'm going to leave you guys with that. There ain't nothing good about any of that. And you're going to hear about a lot more. But Francis, where are you, Mr. Big Mouth? Where's the big talk? You know, how about an apology? How about you come forward to those victims who are Catholics, who looked up to that church, who were abused? How about that? And their families who were threatened. How about that? How about come forward for the rest of the people out there, the Catholics, you know, 50 million Catholics in the U.S. Only about 10% of them go to church. But how about those people and talking to them and saying, we're going to do something about this? You know, they've been saying that, right? Right? They've been saying that, but this wasn't the Catholic Church that came upon this conclusion. It was the Justice Department that came upon this conclusion. It was the Attorney General in Pennsylvania. And I can only imagine how painstaking and hurtful this was for those people to go through the process. Those investigators, I can't even imagine, man, what they had to go through with all the evidence and testimony, hearing about how these children have been systematically abused by the Catholic Church all these years, you know, and you know what? Their faces told the story. So I'm going to end the show here. This is Michael Angley live on United Public Radio Network, UPRNTalkRadio.com, 107.5 New Orleans, 104.7 in Past Christian, saying, have a good week.